Such an implant could read and write to a brain and link it to others. By a conscious effort of will, an implant recipient could establish a worm-cam connection from the center of her own mind to any other recipients. Armed with the implants, a new linked community was emerging from the arenas and the truth squads and other swirling maelstroms of thought and discussion that had come to characterize the new, young, worldwide polity. Brains joined to brains. Minds linked. They called themselves the Joined. It was, Bobby supposed, a bright new future. What it amounted to here and now, however, was an 18-year-old girl, his sister, with a wormhole in her head. "You scared?" sighed Mary now. "Horror stories, group mind, lose soul, blah, blah." "Hell yes." "Fear unknown, maybe." But suddenly Mary pulled back from him and got to her feet. Bobby reached out blindly, found her head, but she pulled away, was gone. All over the room at exactly the same moment others had moved. It was like a flock of birds rising as one from a tree. There were slivers of light as the front door was opened. "Come on," Bobby signed. He grabbed Kate's hand and they made their way with the rest toward the door.
"Scared,"
Kate signed as they walked hurriedly.
"You scared. Cold palm. Pulse can tell."
He was scared, he conceded, but not of the abrupt detection. They had been through situations like this before, and a group in a safe house like this always had an elaborate system of worm-cam-equipped sentries. No, it wasn't detection or even capture he was scared of. It was the way Mary and the others had acted as one, a single organism. Joined. He slid into his shroud. 26. The Grandmothers. In the Wormworks, David sat before a large, wall-mounted soft screen. Hiram's face peered out at him. A younger Hiram, a softer face, but indubitably Hiram. The face was framed by a dimly lit urban landscape, decaying housing blocks and immense road systems, a place that seemed to have been designed to exclude human beings. This was the outskirts of Birmingham, a great city at the heart of England, just before the end of the 20th century. Some years before, Hiram had abandoned this old, decaying country in hope of a better opportunity in America. David had succeeded in combining Michael Maven's DNA trace facility with a worm cam guidance system, and he had extended it to cross the generations. So, just as he had managed to scan back along the line of Bobby's life, now he had traced back to Bobby's father, the originator of Bobby's DNA. And now, driven by curiosity, he intended to go further back yet, tracing his own roots, which was, in the end, the only history that mattered. In the darkness of the cavernous lab, a shadow drifted across the wall, sourceless. He caught it in his peripheral vision, ignored it. He knew it was Bobby, his brother. David didn't know why Bobby was here. He would join David when he was ready. David wrapped his fingers around a small joystick control and pressed it forward. Hiram's face smoothed out, growing younger. The background became a blur around him, a blizzard of days and nights, dimly visible buildings, suddenly replaced by gray-green plains, the fen country where Hiram grew up. Soon, Hiram's face shrank on itself, became innocent, boyish, and shriveled in a moment to an infant. And it was replaced, suddenly, by a woman's face.
This is the end of Side 1. This program is continued on Side 2 of this cassette.